Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, as always, the Grizzlies have lost 9 of the last 10 games that they played, now sit 6-16 on the season. I don't know if that was really all that surprising, but we'll talk about that and more on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up, jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for 3 now. No choice. Conley for 3. Ties it up.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the show. As I said in the quick open, the Grizzlies have lost a ton of games over the past couple weeks, but I'm not sure that's a surprise to anyone given the team roster and the fact that they have missed a lot of their players over some of those games due to injury. So we'll talk about that a little bit in the first segment. We're going to have our weekend roundup in the second segment and in the last segment of the show today. As always, at the Monday show, we have the Monday mailbag in that last segment. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great show. We got several questions on that Monday mailbag segment, so it might be a little longer than normal. But I just want to get into, before we take a break and get into the weekend roundup over the weekend that they played on Saturday against Utah Jazz in Utah, the Grizzlies have lost a lot of games. That's true. But it shouldn't surprise anyone. I know this is getting to a point in the season where people start to maybe lose interest. People start to maybe get down on the team. They start to talk about trades. They talk about, there's a nightly person to blame on the roster for why their Grizzlies have all the ailments they have. Look, the Grizzlies' problems are bigger than just the last 2 weeks. And we've talked about it on this show the first couple weeks of the season. I think that we all probably in the first few weeks of the season, we all probably got a little more excited than we should have. I mean, the Grizzlies have always had the problems that you're seeing now. Like they're always there. They're just now presenting themselves in a way that it sucks to watch losses and not a team gains. And yes, it sucks even worse not to have Ja Morant on the court. So like, at least a lot of those losses in the last 10 days, even going back further than that, you know, against the Lakers, things like that, where, you know, Ja Morant is out there playing and, you know, you're losing by 1 point, you're losing by 2 points. Like, I'll take that. And you should too. Like, you should be happy with those. Now, you don't want to be happy with the loss, but you'll be happy with that because they're fun. They're entertaining. Ja Morant is really, really fun to watch. And yes, they're losing, and yes, that sucks at the end of the day, but at the same time, losing by 1 point, it's a competitive loss. In the last week or so, it hasn't felt like that. Now, they're just getting blown out. I mean, you can use even the game against the Jazz. I mean, the game was pretty much over in the second quarter at halftime. I mean, yes, they got it back, but like, it was pretty much over. So, it just hasn't felt the same. These losses are much, much different, but they're highlighting the problems that they've always had, and Ja Morant's done a good job to mask those problems. Ja Morant's has done a good job to divert us from those issues that the Grizzlies have always had. You know, Solomon Hill getting big minutes. Jay Crowder has played much, much better than anticipated, but Jay Crowder's always, you know, he's not a guy that you're going to depend on for offense all the time. That's not who Jay Crowder is. Yes, I think Jay Crowder is a good player, but within his role, he is a good player. You know, Solomon Hill playing 28 minutes or 30 minutes a game. That's just not, you know, that's really not an ideal situation that's going to get you W's. Marco Guterich, same thing. Grayson Allen, same thing. It's just, you know, that's just really not the recipe. And so Going even back to the shows that we started, even in the summer and previewing this Grizzlies roster, and we knew what we were going to get when we get in there, get into the season anyway. You know, we always said, you know, it's going to be bad. It's going to be a lot of losses, but there should be fun. And hopefully that's the name of the game. But you should always be looking forward and to the, you know, viewing this team as a obviously a real rebuilding team, but looking forward to next summer and probably possibly even to the summer after that, where the Grizzlies could potentially build a roster that really has a chance to compete. This year is not about that. I mean, there's a lot of people on this roster. They're not even going to be here next summer, possibly. So this is not about that. It's about the development of Jaren Jackson Jr. It's about the development of Tyus Jones, even in this new offense of Ja Morant, Grayson Allen, all those guys that the Grizzlies need to make decisions on. So I've seen a lot of people just getting very angry, and there's a lot of problems with Grizzlies, and kind of the world is coming to an end on social media over the past week or so. I wanted to get that opening segment and talk about that for a minute. Yes, it sucks, but you should not be surprised in this situation at all. The Grizzlies were always going to be this. They're always going to be this all year. And yes, it sucks, but there should not be a surprise to anyone how they're losing, not making shots offensively, being, you know, bad defensively sometimes. Like, this is just, it's who they are. And the quicker you come to terms with that, I promise you, the better off you will be in the long run. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we will talk about the weekend roundup that was against the Utah Jazz and the Grizzlies this Saturday. If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live or me at King_producer, and we'll retweet that and share that with the community. It's the time of year when everyone is traveling or running around getting thoughtful gifts for the people you care about. Think about giving yourself the gift of Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it with a special offer of 53% off your first 3 months. You can choose 3 titles every single month, 1 audiobook and 2 exclusive Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. With Audible, you also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. Right now, for a limited time only, get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. Give yourself the gift of listening. For more, go to audible.com/lockedonNBA. Welcome back to the show. Like I said before, we're going to do the weekend roundup in this segment of the show. We'll also do the Monday mailbag in the last segment of the show today, like we do every single week. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this game. There was only one game over the weekend. The Grizzlies lose to the Jazz 126-112. And Utah looks like a different team than I thought they would be this year. They look like a team that is a fringe playoff team, or maybe a playoff team, but a fringe contender. I just don't know if they're going to get there. I love Donovan Mitchell's game, but I just don't know if he by himself enough. And Mike Conley is going through such a rough stretch. It's difficult to watch. Obviously, we all love Mike Conley being Grizzlies fans, but it's difficult to watch Mike do that. And it's probably because he spent all his career being the guy on the ball, and he's asked probably to do a lot of different things that he has never been asked to do. So it's probably definitely a change. Hopefully they get on the right spot, because you want to see Mike Conley do well. But this game, you know, it was pretty much over at halftime. Now, the Grizzlies, was 60-42 at half. The Grizzlies really, really struggled offensively. They couldn't really get anything going. I mean, the defense from the Jazz was just incredible. But you can't let a team shoot 19 three-pointers and you only shoot 10. That's tough. You just can't. I mean, they only outmatched them in field goals. The Jazz had 45 field goals. The Grizzlies had 43. But you make 9 more 3-pointers. I mean, that's difficult to overcome in any level of basketball. It's just really, really difficult to do. And that's really your main problem here. I mean, it's just defensively, the Grizzlies just weren't good enough, and they've been bad on the perimeter all year long. Some teams have really shot the ball incredibly well from the 3-point range against this team. It's something they've really struggled with. And also, just the other side of it, they've also just struggled with making shots sometimes. And we've seen in these games where, and the Grizzlies are making shots, they're making threes, they are playing really well, and they are in games. And when they don't make threes, when they're not able to really get the ball going from behind the arc, and they shoot a lot, they take a lot of threes, and if they're not making them, it's just You know, it's just tough for them to stay in games in those scenarios. I mean, they shot the same amount of threes. Actually, they shot one more three than the Jazz. 35 threes for the Grizzlies, 34 threes for the Jazz. And again, the Jazz made nine more. So, you know, shooting 28% from three, which we have seen on several occasions from this team, shooting 28% from three is just not good enough in today's NBA. It will not win you many games at all. The idea of being able to sit back and not really take shots from three is just almost non-existent in today's NBA. And this offense is predicated, like we've talked about before on this show multiple times, Taylor Jenkins' offense is predicated on making threes and playing fast and getting fast break offense. They don't have a ton of sets that they run in half court offense. I mean, they have them, like every team has them, but this offense is really predicated on getting good looks from three and running a fast break offense. And the Grizzlies did a great job of that. They got 21 fast break points to only eight Utah fast break points. So they did a really good job of scoring in transition, and they do that every game almost. Points in the paint, again, huge number for points in the paint for the Grizzlies, 64 points in the paint. They still lead the league in the points in the paint category. So that's something they do really well, is getting to the rim. But again, the main takeaway from this is just making shots. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but it's just making shots, and to be as simple as that is. And you look at that goes straight back to the personnel that we talked about in the earlier segment. I quickly alluded to it, but the personnel out there, you know, Solomon Hill taking six shots. You have Jay Crowder taking 10 shots, taking eight shots from three. Even Jaren Jackson Jr. taking 9 3-pointers. I mean, yes, we want Jaren to shoot the ball from three, but, you know, he's got to be able to work inside as well. We've detailed this on our own different shows with the idea of Jonas Valanciunas being in there inside and Jaren Jackson kind of being pushed to the outside. And that's great. And Jaren played awesome, by the way. I don't want to take anything away from Jaren, because he played really, really good. 26 points, three from now from three. Did everything you want to do. And he took 18 shots, took the most shots on the team. That's what you want to see in a game like this where you don't have Ja Morant playing. But game was largely over for most part. I thought Tyus Jones actually had a pretty good game as well. At 7 assists and 9 points, something you really want to see from Tyus Jones is offense. I mean, something we talked about for a long time, for several weeks, that he's just really, really struggled on offense, really struggled with his shot, and it's a much faster pace than he's ever been asked to play. I think that has a lot to do with the way he's playing right now. But yeah, you know, the making threes, shooting 28% and making 10 threes, that goes at least directly to your personnel and who you have taking those threes. It's not like those two aren't correlated, because they very much are. And so, you know, Jay Crowder, who is a career 30% three-point shooter, which is, you know, average, maybe a little below average these days. Tyus Jones taking 4 3-pointers. Dylan Brooks, who is a better shooter than I think this game is. This game gives him credit for. He didn't make a 3-pointer at all. He was not great in this game, but I think he's a better 3-point shooter. And you know, he's a guy that obviously has to get in rhythm, has to really start hot, and he continued to shoot well. If he starts off bad, he really generally just ends up being bad. He's definitely a rhythm kind of guy. Those guys taking the threes, you want those guys to be quality 3-point shooters. And right now the Grizzlies just don't have a lot of them. You know, the best 3-point shooter on the team is probably Jaren Jackson Jr. at this moment, like, which is kind of crazy to think about when you think your power forward is your best 3-point shooter. It kind of says a lot about what the Grizzlies guards are doing right now. I thought De'Anthony Melton was okay. Again, I don't know what will happen, and this is a question in the Monday Mailbag. What with him when Ja comes back? I'd be curious. It will be very curious to see. But Grayson Allen, I thought he played well. I thought 13 points. He was 1 for 3 from three. He took the three, or he needs to take them, 6 for 9 from field. Like, I thought he played well. I thought Grayson Allen played much better coming back. I know the first game coming back for him was bad, but I think that was just coming back, getting back into shape, because he missed several games with that ankle injury. I think I am on the record. I think Grayson Allen's a player. I really do think he's a role player in this NBA. I don't know if he's going to be a high quality starter, but I think he could be a role player in this league. And that, you need those type of guys that can come off the bench and get minutes and quality minutes and be effective when they're out there. And so that's not something that the short is saying something bad about, you know, Grayson Allen or anybody for that matter, because you need those type of players on a team. At least you see a lot of teams who have elite starters and their bench is terrible. When you have four guys on a max contract, you just don't have the money to pay other quality role players. And those teams don't usually win championships. It takes a lot for those guys to overcome those deficiencies, excuse me. And so I think Grayson Allen is a player, and you're seeing that now. I think he can continue to be there. And he beat up Marco Gudrich on minutes as well. So I thought that was interesting to see as well. Let's take another quick break. We'll come back and do our last segment of the show, the Monday Mailbag segment, and get you guys ready for tonight's game against the Warriors. Welcome back to the show. Our last segment of the Monday show. Every single week we do our Monday mailbag segment. So if you don't submit questions, please do so. If you have a question throughout the week, it doesn't have to be on the weekend or the day of Monday. But yeah, if you have a question going through the week, just shoot me your question, DM on Twitter. I'll keep it until I get to Monday. If I have time, I'll pick usually three or four questions. If I get more than that, I'll pick three or four and I'll answer those. If I have one or two, I'll answer them all. So send those questions to me throughout the whole week. If you have a question, just go and send it to me, and I'll store it away for the Monday show. If you don't know how to get in touch with us, follow us on Twitter at King_producer or the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. You can DM me on either of those accounts. I'll answer those. DMs are open. So if you have a question, make sure you go and shoot that over. Let's get to the questions this week. This week, the first question comes from at the Swing Pass. What should we make of Grayson Allen's strong play as of late? Seems to be getting overlooked by the Josh Jackson hype. I just kind of answered this question, but I'll talk about it a little bit more in the terms of Josh Jackson. I mean, Josh Jackson's obviously much better player, I think, in terms of skill and just where he was picked in the lottery. There's a lot of things swirling around Josh Jackson. And if you haven't already seen, Josh Jackson actually is going to miss the game, the next Hustle game, because of violation of team rules. I don't know what those are yet. I'll be looking to find out. But he's actually going to be missing the game. And so Josh Jackson has a lot of things going talk around him just because of the higher profile player. You know, he was the number four pick in the lottery. He's probably is a better player than Grayson Allen. But you know, he also has baggage. And so that gets talked about by me, by everybody else, because it's just what it is, you know. And he's in a situation where we want to see him play, but we can't see him play because there's something that he hasn't done to the front office to be able to see. But either way, that's why Josh Jackson gets the hype that he does. Now, in terms of Grayson Allen, I think he's just being overlooked because the games really are just kind of boring. Grayson Allen's doing a lot of things that just they don't necessarily show up in the box score. He's just going out there and playing well, playing decent. And sometimes that can get lost in translation. And so as far as, like, if you don't go out there and have a really bad game, if you don't go out there and have a really good game, you just go out there and do what you're supposed to do. You score the basketball in the spot you're supposed to score the basketball. You don't turn the ball over. Like, you just go do what you're supposed to do. I think that can sometimes get lost in translation to viewers, to media members like myself that cover the team. Like, that sometimes can just get overlooked because we might be talking about Ja Morant, or we might be talking about Josh Jackson Jaren Jackson Jr. like I did for several minutes because he played so well. So sometimes that just gets lost. And I think that I don't want it to go unnoticed, because I have noticed it. I'm sure other people have noticed it. It sometimes just doesn't get talked about as much as other people. But I think, again, like I said before in the last segment, I think Grayson Allen is a good player. I think that he's a guy that can really bring something to a team as a role player. And I don't know if he'll ever be a starter in this league, but I think he could be a role player and play 20 minutes a night and be effective on a good team. And so that's really, like, that's all you should ask for in a guy that was picked in the first round. Once you get into the 20s, 25s, even like late teens in the first round of the NBA draft, I mean, it's really toss up. Like, that's really what you're looking for. If you can get a role player out of someone in that range, then you've won the draft. If you get more than that, then you're doing, crazy good. Like, the Grizzlies got Brandon Clark at 21 is just insane to me, because he is really, really good. And, you know, also goes the fact that some guys just get it when they get to the league. Like, Brandon Clark he's an older rookie, but he just gets it. He understands the game. He understands the way it's played. Some guys struggle with that. So, because the game of basketball at the NBA level is so much different than it is at the college level. So, I hope that answers your question. I appreciate the question. Next question is from at Tom Feeler. Who got left out of the rotation when Ja comes back? Melton seems to have earned himself more playing time. I think you're probably going to see D'Anthony Melton get left out. I mean, honestly, I think that's just where he is right now. Whenever Ja comes back, it'll go probably right back to where it was with Ja Morant starting, Tyus Jones coming off the bench. Now, the way you can look at as far as D'Anthony Melton's taking minutes is someone like Marco Gudrich or someone like a Grayson Allen. Those are where you can start to maybe see D'Anthony Melton grabbing minutes from those other players, because I think he could get played along. He could play alongside Ja. I don't think he has to necessarily be the backup point guard. Again, we've talked about this in previous shows where I think the Grizzlies coaching staff probably view D'Anthony Melton as a primary, like a, as a backup point guard and not an off guard, not as a two guard or anything like that. And so, you know, once you view him as a point guard or a backup point guard, well, that kind of creates a problem because the Grizzlies already have a point guard. The Grizzlies already have a backup point guard, and they really don't ever play a third string point guard ever. And he's really only there because of injuries. So, you know, unfortunately for D'Anthony Melton, I think you'll probably see it go back to much like it has been before when before Ja was hurt. But at the same time, if he gets into minutes and he starts cutting people's minutes, I don't think it'll be Tyus Jones' minutes. I think it'll be someone like a Goodrich or Grayson Allen or someone of the other guards' minutes that you might see him get into just to get him in the game and see how he can play. I hope that's the case. I like what I've seen from D'Anthony Melton so far. I would like to see him. I would like to see more of him and what he can do on the court, especially maybe with Ja Morant and how we can help this Grizzlies team kind of develop even further. Next question is from at Morgan Spencer. Assuming that's it's Morgan Spencer at Minor Profit 9. Projection time. Who do you think is going to be on this team next year? For the Grizzlies, there's a lot of guys that probably you know, depending on what they do with the option. Again, Josh Jackson. I get Josh and Jerry mixed up all the time. I apologize. Josh Jackson is someone that could very well not be on this team next year. He'll be out of contract. Solomon Hill, same thing. He'll be out of contract. You wouldn't expect Solomon Hill to be back. Bruno Cabloco, same thing. He's out of contract. You know, depending on how this season goes for Bruno, I would not expect him to be back right now. It has not gone well for him. He's not really getting the minutes you would have thought he would get. So I don't expect him to be back. Marco Goodrich is under contract. I do expect him to be back. Yuta Watanabe is obviously a two-way player. Kyle Anderson, again, I'll expect him to be back. He'll be under contract. Tyus Jones will be under contract. You know, so there'll be a lot of this core will be back. Jaren, obviously Ja. I don't expect Jay Crowder to be back. I don't expect Jay Crowder to finish the season with this team. But Jonas, Tyus, Dylan, all those guys I do expect to be back. But some of the other lower end rotation people, lower end rotation players like a Solomon Hill, Bruno Caboclo, again, and the jury's still out on Josh Jackson, what they should do with him because we haven't even seen Josh Jackson play in an NBA game. So I don't think you can make that decision on Josh Jackson based off what he's done in the G League because the G League doesn't matter. The G League is not, should not be used for evaluation for an NBA player. The G League, if you're an NBA player, should be used for rehab and injuries and rehabbing stands and getting back to in-game shape. It should not be used like they're doing it now to try to evaluate anything from Josh Jackson. And I hope they're not. I wouldn't assume they are, but I hope they're not trying to evaluate him because that's not what the G League is for. And so until Josh Jackson actually does something on a team that, you know, on an NBA team against NBA players, I'm not sure you can really answer that question one way or the other about what he will do coming up next year. But that's who I expect to be back and who I don't expect to be back coming up next year. Again, it's mostly all the French players that are out of contract. But you never know. Once you get into January and people start calling about players, someone starts to call about Dylan Brooks and, you know, it's offers that you like and maybe, you know, everybody's tradable. Except for Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark. I mean, everybody on this roster would be available to anybody for the right price. And so I think they'll always listen to people. So who knows what will happen. Again, if you haven't already submitted your question for next week, make sure you go and do so at King_producer@LockedOnGrizz. You can DM those questions to me throughout the entire week, or you can email them to me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. If you don't do the Twitter thing as well, make sure you go and subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you choose, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, or Apple iTunes. If you're in Apple iTunes, make sure you go and leave a review and rate the show. It really helps us out in the iTunes ranking. Tomorrow we'll be back on our Tuesday show like normal with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic.